The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Chaf Vav, and we have four lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Chaf Hei Amad Beis. Yesterday's daf, as mentioned, is one of the more lumdish dafim in Masechtas Bava Basra. We had the sugya of Bechor Noitel Pishnayim. So the halach is that if a man dies, he leaves over children. So the Bechor, the firstborn son, had certain privileges that he would get. One of them was, he gets pishnai. So he gets an extra chelek. So for example, if the man dies, leaves over two sons, instead of dividing the Yerusha into two, it'd be divided into three. The Bechor would get two chalakim, and the Pashut, the son that's not a Bechor, he would get one chelek. If the man died and he left over five sons, instead of dividing it into five, he divided it into six. The Bechor would get the extra portion, Shechem Echad al Achiv, and the other brothers, they would all get one chelek. The specific detail, the halacha that's been discussed the last couple of dafin, was an idea that although the Bechor gets pishnayim, but there are certain limitations as to when he gets pishnayim. Specifically, ein ha-Bechor noitel b'ra'oi kibemuchzik. The only time a Bechor gets pishnayim is from possessions that the father had in his rishus at the time that he died. But if the father only had a schus, rights, the potential to at some point have possessions, now that he dies, although that schus goes over by Yerusha to his children, but the extra schus that the Bechor gets, that is his din pishnayim, is not going to apply. So, eina Bechor noitel pishnayim b'roi kibemuchzik. If it's muchzik, he gets pishnayim. If it's roi, he doesn't get pishnayim. The Gemara learned it out from a pasuk. The pasuk says, ki as a Bechor ben asnua yakir loseis loi pishnayim, Bechoy lashe yimotze loi. The son, the Bechor, gets pishnayim. In what? In everything that's yimotze lo. Yimotze is from the Lashon Motzoi, from the Lashon Muchzik. So anything that was Muchzik in the father's rishus at the time that the father died, the Bechor is going to get Pishnayim. But anything that wasn't Muchzik, it was only Roi, the father would not get Pishnayim. We saw a very important Machloikis, Rebbe, and the Rabbanon, how exactly you define Roi and Muchzik in the context of a Bechor taking Pishnayim or not being able to get Pishnayim. According to Rebbe, the only time a Bechor doesn't get something that the father didn't have at the time that he died was if that thing that came later required some intervention in order for it to come about. So for example, if a father dies, he leaves over a field, and then after he died, his sons went and they developed the property. Now it's worth a lot more money than it was worth at the time that he died. Now they come to divide it. The Bechor is not going to get Pishnayim. He'll get Pishnayim in the original property. So whatever the property was worth at the time that the father died, the Bechor gets his extra chelek. But the appreciated value as a result of the developed property, that he's not going to get, because that wasn't there at the time that the father died. Stating that, any asset appreciation that comes memela, so for example, hiniach para v'yolda, so at the time that the father died, it was a pregnant para, now the para has since given birth, so being that the leda of the para is something that happened in memela, even though that child wasn't born at the time that the father died, it doesn't matter. The halach is the Bechor is going to get pishnayim. The Gemara said that the svaras hamachloikis is really based on how to understand psukim. Rebbe darshind pishnayim, the chachamim darshind losei sloi. That was all Friday stuff. Yesterday we went meinyan leinyan and we went into a very intense sugya, and that is if a man dies and he leaves over accounts receivables, so somebody owed this family's father $10,000. Now, the father died. So there's no question that the children, Yarshin, this note, they now have the right to go collect from the debtor. They have a right to go take the $10,000. The question is, does the Bechor get Pishnayim or does the Bechor not get Pishnayim? What's the Shaila? The Shaila is that on the one hand, the money that's going to be collected is not Muchzik, it's Roli. Father doesn't have it right now. All he has is a piece of paper that's worth the price of the paper it was written on. Now, it gives you the ability to go collect the $10,000, but the $10,000 is not physically in the possession of the father. So from that standpoint, you could look at it as a roi. But then again, there is a concept of a shtar, the chefza of the shtaret, all the lumdas, all the halachas, shtar roi mid ligvois kegavui dami. So you can make the argument that although the money is not physically in the possession of the father, but the shtar is in his possession, and maybe that's enough for it to be viewed as b'chol ha-she'imotzi loy. We could look at it as muchzik, we can't look at it as roi. And there was a whole sugya, and the Gemara said that it could be, it depends on whether at the end of the day, when this loan was it paid in cash, or was it paid with karka? What would it depend on? Some said one way, some said another way. Machloike Shmuel, Bnei Marava, Rabba, Rav Nachman, Abaye asked the steer in Rabba, Abaye asked the steer in Rav Nachman. It concluded with this very dramatic case, a court case that was Marish Elamois back in the day, in the times of the Amiram with the Safta. Either way, that was all yesterday's daf. Today is a little bit of a segue from there, a little lighter, not that much lighter, but we'll do what we do. So says the Gemara, four lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Chaf Hei Amid Beis. Amara Papa, Hilchasa. The halacha is, Ein Habal Noitel B'ra'oi Kibamuchsek. A husband who yarshins his wife, only yarshins muchzik, something that his wife had at the time that she died. But if it's only ro'oi, for example, let's say she's yerish bekever, something falls into her possession after she died already, although ordinarily, in regular dine nachlois, it would be okay, a person could be yerish ro'oi kibemuchzik, but a husband has a limitation. Ve'ina b'chor noitel b'ro'oi kibemuchzik. That's the sugya we've been learning. The b'chor doesn't even get ro'oi kibemuchzik. Ve'ina b'chor noitel pishnayim b'milv. Additionally, the b'chor does not get pishnayim. Yesterday's daf, ben shegavu karka, ben shegavu mois. It doesn't matter if the loan was paid at the end of the day with karka or if the loan was paid at the end of the day with mois. In either case, the halacha is that the bechor is not going to get pishnayim. Incidentally, there's a discussion in the Rishonim. What about a baal? A baal is not noitel b'roi kibemuchzik, just like a bechor is not noitel b'roi kibemuchzik. Rapapa was very clear. You have to be medayik Rapapa. Rapapa said, ve'ena bechor noitel pishnayim b'milva. A Bechor who doesn't get Roy Kemuchzik, he also doesn't get Pishnayim B'milva. Pashit, because the Milva is viewed as Roy. We said you could look at the Milva in two ways. You could look at it as Roy, because he doesn't have the money. The father didn't have it when he died. You could look at it as Muchzik, because he had the Shtar. He had the ability to collect the money. Says Rapapa, the halacha is, Ein HaBechor Noitel B'Roy Kemuchzik, Ve'ein HaBechor Noitel Pishnayim B'milva. What about Baal? Shouldn't Rav Papa have said, Ve'ein HaBechor Ve'HaBaal Noitel Pishnayim B'milva? Well, not Pishnayim, but shouldn't he have addressed the Baal being able to get B'milva? It's a little bit mashma that only the Bechor's din ro'oi extends itself to a milva, but maybe the Baal's din ro'oi does not extend itself to milva. It's in fact a very big discussion in the Rishonim. You have to know what would be the difference. The reason the Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim B'milva is because it's ro'oi. If it's ro'oi, then it should be ro'oi for the Baal as well. It'd be a little bit mashma that there's a chilek between the din ro'oi of the Baal being yoyrish ro'oi kibemuchzik and the din ro'oi of the Bechor being yoyrish ro'oi kibemuchzik. One of the svaras that the Rishonim say is that the Gemara said that by a Bechor, matana kariyah rachmana, the Torah says, losis lo'i pishnayim. We always look at it as a matana, that the father is, it's as if he's gifting the pishnayim to the son. It's an interesting concept to have to write. Wrap your head around. Yerusha doesn't work b'matana. When a father dies and his children inherit what he left over, is the way you look at it is if the father gifted, the father didn't gift it, something called matana, there's something called mekachem memkar, there's something called Yerusha. It's a separate subcategory that is a vehicle how an asset can transfer from the possession of one person to the possession of another person. But when it comes to the pishnayim, the extra chelik that the Bechor gets, matana kari rachmana. And being the matana kari rachmana, it's for that reason the Gemara said the noisei matana, the father would have to be in possession of the nechasim in order for him to be able to give it to his Bechor. So even if you're Rusha, there's a concept you could be yorish bekever, you could be yorish beroy, you could be muchzik, but the pishnayim is viewed a little bit differently because that works more begidre matana. So you have to know, would I be able to give you a gift if it was only roy? If the answer is no, then you can't get pishnayim either. Either way, the Bechor's din ro'i is governed by matana kari rachmana. By the Baal, even though it's true, he has the same bottom line, halacha, the ena Baal noita b'ro'i kibemuchzik, but you don't have this idea that Yerusha's Baal works by matana. Yerusha's Baal works by Yerusha. So some want to say that maybe that's the schlissel to try to understand the difference between why a Bechor maybe wouldn't be able to take his pishnayim from a milva, whereas a Baal maybe would be able to take B'milva, either way. The last halacha that Rapapa said was U'milva she'imoy pa'algis. There's a discussion in the Rishonim what Pashup Shana this is. The Rashbam says, we're talking about a case where a man died, left over sons. He also left over a note. Somebody owed him money. The person that owed the man money was his own son. It was his Bechor. So the Bechor owes his father money. So now the Bechor is the loiva, but he's also going to be the malva, because he now, together with his brothers, has an ability to yarshin, the ability to go ahead. So this is where it gets a little bit tricky. Why is it a little tricky? Because we just said that the Bechor doesn't take pishnayim b'milva. So if he doesn't take pishnayim b'milva, technically he shouldn't have the right to take pishnayim of this money that he himself owes his father. Meaning, he owes the money to his father. Who's his father? His father died. So now it's the sons that are going to Yerush. He's one of the sons. So he technically could be entitled to a Pishnayim. Now, he's going to take money out of one pocket, putting it into the other pocket. It's going to be a wash. But the point is, how much of the loan do we look at as belonging to him so that he won't be responsible for that? He'll have to pay his brothers whatever he himself is not yashining. But the rest of it will be like, so does he get the Pishnayim as that? So Pashat, you would say, what's the difference? The halacha is that a Bechor doesn't take Pishnayim b'milva, he shouldn't take Pishnayim b'milva. The reason this might be a little bit different is because over here, he himself is the loiva. So what if he himself is the loiva? So Rashbam says a super lamda shesvara. The Rashbam says that being that he himself is the loiva, and it's in his interest right now to view the milva as if it's in the possession of the father. So he's mishabed his nechasim to the father in such a way that we now view the milva not as ra'oi. This is real lumbus. We view it instead as muhsik. If it's muhsik, now the Bechor could get Pishnayim, and he's going to end up getting Pishnayim. However, a Papa said, I'm not sure if that's a good svara. I'm not sure. So you know what? The halacha is palgi. We split the difference. So the Bechor is for sure going to get, as if he's one of the brothers, he's one of the boys, he's not worse than any of the brothers. As it relates to the Pishnayim, we're not sure. We say Yachloiku. What's the basis of Yachloiku? Says the Rashbam, the Havali Maman Amutu Besafik, the Chol Maman Amutu Besafik Cholkin. Says Toisvis. No, we don't paskin Maman Amutu Besafik Cholkin. We paskin like the Chachovim, that Zek Kal Gadol B'Din. Whenever you have a Sofik Mamin, what's the halacha? Hamoitzi Mechaveroi, all of our right. The Rashbam, it's a little bit mashma. What do you mean? It's Mamin Amutu Besofik. It's always Yachloiku. Taisva says, Rashbam, you're oversimplifying a little bit. We don't paskin like Sumchis. If we paskin like Sumchis, then of course it's a layup. It's a Sofik Mamin. What do? Yachloiku. But being that we don't paskin like Sumchis, so you have to say that even though ordinarily when you have a Sofik Mamin, the rule is Hamoitzi Mechaveroi, all of our raya. Over here, this is going to be one of the exceptions. And Fashteitzach, I think Reb Kiva Eger, Reb Kiva Eger sends us to Toisvis earlier in the Masechta, Daf Samach Beis, Amad Beis, where Toisvis has a list of exceptions to the rule. There are some times where that we paskin we paskin Mamin Amutu Besafik Cholkin. This would be one of those exceptions. Another Gemara. Amar Rav, Amar Rav Asi, Bechor Shem Micha. A man dies. He leaves over a family. The halacha is that any shvach that comes to the nechasim that he left over after he died is deemed ra'oi. It's not muhsik. And the halacha is that the Bechor is not going to be able to take Pishnayim. If the Shvach happened, well, that's the Machlokes Rebbe and the Chacham. But if the Shvach came about because the Yarshim, for example, they went and worked, they developed the property, then the halacha is that the Bechor is not going to be able to take Pishnayim. What happened over here was a man died. He left over 5 sons. There was a Bechor, he's very happy, and 4 other sons. And after the man died, the Yarshim went, they want to start developing the property. The Bechor knows the halacha. The halacha is that if the Yarshim develop it, so now the property goes from being worth $1 million, big numbers, to $2 million. So now he's not going to get Pishnayim in the extra $1 million. He says, I don't want that. I want to develop it myself. Lamaisa, I'm entitled to a chelik of this. There's a Pishnayim that I'm supposed to get. So he's Meicha, and he says, I don't let you develop it. Because the Rega, you develop it, I'm always Kaplich Meicha. I'm not getting the Pishnayim on the difference. I want to get Pishnayim. So I'll invest the money. Apparently, there was a good return on investment over here. So he says, I'll spend whatever it is, the $500,000 to develop it. But that $500,000 of profit, I want pro rata to be able to get my chelik. So that's what this guy did. Bechor Shem Micha. So what's the halacha? Micha, it's a good Macha. Oh, my Rabbi said, Mestabra Tami, the Rabbi Asi, Banovim, doesn't always work. It only works for certain types of work that the Yisayim wanted to do. So for example, if the Bechor was Meicha, and then the Yisayim went, and they gathered the Anovim, that was the added value that they did to this estate that was left over. Zesimu Moskum, or they gathered the olives. Here the halacha is, his Macha works. What's the point? The point is that now he is going to get Pishnayim of any appreciated value, even though it was ra'oi, it doesn't matter, and it wasn't shvach to asi b'memelo, so he's going to get his Pishnayim. Avol darkum, what if the work that they did was they actually changed the nature of the asset? So a man died, he left over anovim, grapes, and they made it into wine. So now there was a shinoi over here. It's not the same thing. Over there, loy, the halacha is going to be different. And the reason the halacha over there is going to be different, says the Rashbam, another lamdash Rashbam, this is the second real lamdash point in the daf, and that is because we view the Yisrael Simon, as gazlonim, because they didn't really have a right to do what they did. Again, a man died, he left over an estate. Really, the estate belongs to all the brothers. So one brother can't just go ahead and decide, I'm going to develop this property. Mechatesi, you don't have a right to do that. So if they go ahead and do it, and especially if the Bechor was Meicha, he's saying, I don't want you to do it. I want my piece and let me deal with it. I'm going to figure out what I want to do it afterwards, especially being that he doesn't get to benefit his Bishnayim from the Shvach that comes afterwards. So they're viewed as Gazlanim. So what's the halach if you're a Gazlan? Obviously, you have to pay it back. Slap on the wrist, a very bad thing. But there's a time that a Gazlan is actually kind of the thing that he stole. That's a Geizalaitzim. A Geizalaitzim, Vason Kalim. So that's the first mission of Berak Geizalaitzim. So there's a concept where Al Yudei Shinu, you can. So if the thing that was left over, the estate, was grapes, and the Yusoyman went and they turned it into wine, so this is already a Shinu Maisa. This is like a Geizalaitzim, Vason Kalim. Over here, the Loch is that the Yusoyman are Koinit, being that they're Koinit at this point. The Bechor can't take his Pishnayim anymore. Because what's the halacha when you're a gazlan and you're kind of the thing that you stole? So you just have to pay back what it was worth at the time that you stole it. As long as you pay back what it was worth at the time you stole it, you're going to be out. Rabbi Yosef argues, Rabbi Yosef said, I feel dark. Even if you would derech it, even if they change it, there was a real Shinei Ma'is over here. As long as the Bechor was Meicha, the Bechor is entitled to take the Pishnayim in the appreciated value. The fact that it went from Anovim to Yayin, he gets Pishnayim in that. Freik the Gemara, Darkum, could Rabbi Yosef hold that Mikari in Vihash the Chamra? Is it possible Rabbi Yosef doesn't hold of Shinei Maisa? So if you look into Rishonim and the Achroinim, they say, yeah, it's very possible. Learn how goes Aleitzim, and you'll see. Not everybody holds that you could be Koina with Shinei Maisa. But the Gemara is not happy with that here. The Gemara says, no way that Rabbi Yosef doesn't hold of Shinei Maisa. Says the Gemara, you're right. Could Amarav Ukfa Barchoma, Litan Loit Mehezek Anovav. What Rabbi Yosef meant to say when he said, Afilu Darkum, was Faker. You're right. If it went up in value because of the fact that it went from grapes to wine, it's poshut that the Bechor is not going to get Pishnayim. So Bechor Shem Micha Micha, the only time the Bechor is going to benefit from his Macha is if there was no Shinei Maisa. Because if there's a Shinei Maisa, Kol HaGazlanim, Meshalmim Kishas HaGzela, so even though it went up afterwards, the Gazlin, the Yisayimim, that's what they are now, are not going to be responsible to make up the appreciated value. Because never, no Gazlan's ever responsible to do that. That's the halacha. If the Dover HaGozel is Be'en, you give it back. But if it's not Be'en, Kol HaGozlan Mesham Mishas HaGzel. It's a benefit that the Gazlan gets. It is what it is. But that's the halacha. Kol HaGozlan Mesham Mishas HaGzel. So these Yisraelim aren't going to be any worse than that. But what if it goes down in value? What if it goes down in value? So there, Ichaps and Afgamira. Because if it goes down in value, Kol HaGozlan Mesham Mishas HaGzel is now going to say that you have to pay the larger amount. If you don't view them as a gazlan, then you can just say, I can give it back to you. So we're talking about, if it went down, because of the fact that you converted it from grapes to wine, it actually lost value. Oh, it lost value. So that's where Rabbi Yosef said the halacha, meaning the macha could benefit the bechor. Where would it benefit the bechor? If it went down in value. And chanami, if it goes up in value, in the case of darkum, where there was a shinui maisa, the macha is not going to benefit the bechor. Because kol gazlanin, mishamin, kichasa, gzelan. The Yisrael are not worse than a Gazel. Where it's negeya that it could benefit the Bechor if he was Meicha, even in a case where there was a Shinei Maisa, is if it went down in value. Says the Gemara, Heche Itma de Rav Ukva Bar Chama. It's clear from the Gemara, Rav Ukva Bar Chama didn't say this statement, Liten Loit Mehezek Anova, regarding this. The Gemara said, Kid the Omar, like Rav Ukva Bar Chama once said. Where was that once? Where he said that, says the Gemara, something very similar. A Bechor and a Pashut. A father died, he left over two sons. One was the Bechor. And the estate was Anovim, Ubatzrum. And the Pashut, not the Bechor, the Pashut, he went and he gathered it. Zeisim, Umaskum. And the Bechor was Meicha, same exact halacha. Bechor neitel Pishnayim. The Bechor gets Pishnayim. Afilu Darkum. Even if he pressed it, even if there was a Shinu Maisa, Freit Gemara, Darkum, Eikari, Inve, Ashtacham. If he pressed it, he shouldn't be able to get Pishnayim. Amarav Ukva, Barchoma, Litin Loit, Mehezekanova. It's Negei if it went down and down. Same exact discussion. Amarav Asi, another halacha. Bechor Shenota, Chelik Kipashat. So a man dies, and he leaves over an estate. Leaves over several fields. The Bechor, the Pashut, they go together to the first field, they divide it, and the Bechor says, I'll take half, and you take half. And the Pashut says, really? You're entitled to Pishnai? It's okay, I'll take half, you take half. Said Ravasi Viter. He's Mavater. He can't come later and say that, no, I changed my mind, Meshata Nibach. You can't come with any of these tainas. Once you're Mavater, you're Mavater. Faith or my Viter. What does it mean? Rapapa, Meshmeh the Rav, I'm Rapapa, send in the name of Rav, Viter, Ba'usa Sad. It means that field, he loses at his Pishnayim. But let's say now the next field, the Bechor can come and say, listen, I'm entitled to Pishnayim. I want 2/3 of the field, not only half the field. Just because the Bechor was Mevater in this particular field doesn't mean he's Mevater the entire Yerusha. Rapapi Mishmei Derovo. So the Machlik is Rapapa and Rapapi. Rapapi Mishmei Derovo. Amavite Bechol Anachasim Kula. No. He's Mevater all the Nechasim. Says the Gemara, what's the Svaras HaMachlek is? Rapapa Mishmei Derovo. Rapapa said the name of Rava Viter Ba'isa Sada. He's only Mevater his Pishnayim in that field. Kosovar, he holds Ein Loi the Bechor Koidim Chaluka. Because he holds that the Bechor does not take possession of his Pishnayim before the Chaluka. Rapapi Mishmei Derovo Amar Viter Bechol HaNechasim Kula. He's Mevater all the Nechasim, because he holds Yeshloi the Bechor Koidim Chalukah. That a Bechor does have rights to his Pishnayim before the Chalukah. We say, as far as the being that he was Meichel his Pishnayim in this field that he was dividing right now, we assume that he was Meichel his rights to the Pishnayim in all the fields. So what's the Shaila? So this is Lumdus number 3. Alumdus Shaila. The Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim, right? That's the Halacha. The Bechor gets Pishnayim. The Pishnayim that the Bechor gets, do we say that even before the field is divided, from a Chosh Mishpat standpoint, we look at it as if the Bechor already has some kinyan, some schus in the Pishnayim that he's going to get? Or do you say, no, the Pishnayim comes ba'ilam, so to speak, after when they do the Chalukas, and now he gets the Pishnayim. Right now, it's some contingent something that he's going to, I don't know how you put it on the balance sheet, but it's something he could get, but he doesn't have it right now. When does he have it? After the Chalukas. So once the Chalukah happens, that's when he takes possession of it. Or no, maybe he has some schus in it, afilu koidim the Chalukah. L'may nafkamina, here's the nafkamina. Nafkamina is, could a Bechor be moichel, his Pishnayim before the Chalukah? Says the Rashbam, Gevalt, you mamash have to know like Ganshas to learn this stuff. Just like we know the rule is Eino de Makne Dovah Shlei Baloylam, and Eino de Maktish Dovah Shlei Baloylam, Eino de Mevater Al Dovah Shlei Baloylam, Eino de Meichel Dovah Shlei Baloylam. So does the Bechor even have the ability to be Mevater his Pishnayim? If the Pishnayim is Baloylam, he already has a Schus in the Pishnayim. So then he could say, I'm being Mevater, my Schus that I have in the Pishnayim. But if he doesn't have a Schus in the Pishnayim yet, why not? Because it's something that he's first going to get after the Chalukah, so if he doesn't have it until after the Chalukah, how could he possibly be Mevater? So that was the Shaila. Meaning, both Amiron, Rapapa and Rapapi, they both agreed that when you sit down and divide the one field, and the Bechor says, I'm Mevater my Pishnayim, it's Mestaber. It's Mestaber, just based on the psychoanalysis, it's Mestaber that the Bechor means to be Mevater the Pishnayim and everything. That's the way to interpret it. So that's the way the psychologists would look at it. But the Shaila is, how does the Poistuk look at it? How does the Lamdan look at it? It's very nice that we know what you were thinking. You want to be Mevater everything. But do you have a right to do it or not? Das ist die Frage. That's the Shaila over here. If you look at the Pishnayim as being Ba'olam, so then he has an ability to be Mevater. So then it's something that he could do. Or if it's something that he could do, it's not a Loi Ba'olam. So we assume the Svara, which is that he was Mevater on his entire right to the Pishnayim in the entire thing. But if not, then talk to Gemara. The Hodr Rapapi and Rapapa. This Machloek is Rapapi and Rapapa. La Betherush Itmar. El Michlolo Itmar. So this Geshmakalam, the Machloek is, ironically, was not even a Machloek is where they argued in Basemet, meaning it wasn't a Betherush Itmar El, because they both sang it over in the name of Rava. So Rapapa heard one thing in the name of Rapapa, and Rapapi heard something else in the name of Rava. And it wasn't that Rapapa heard Rava say Shir and he said this, and then Rapapi heard Rava say Shir and he said that, or maybe there was a miscommunication. Really, all based on a Maisa Shahaya. There was a Bechor that Azul Zav and Nichse Didei Uda Pashit. Until now, the Pashit is the one that's being dishonest with his older brother. Here, the Bechor was the Chevrma. So, a man died, he left over an estate, he left over sons. The Bechor went and he sold everything. Bechor, he sold it. Azul Yasmi B'nei Pashit Mechotam. Now, the Pashit, one of the Pashuts, maybe it was only one, died, and he left over Yisayman. And Yisayman wanted something, but they didn't have anything, because even though they technically should have Yarshined from their father, who had Yarshined from his father, but their uncle, the Bechor, went and he had sold it, they didn't have anything. But they found out who he had sold it to. So the Yisayman now go, and to the Lekuchos, right, the one that bought the field from the Bukhar illegally. They started eating. So the Gemara says, Mechinu, Delekeach went and he started beating him up. Amrulu Kravim, so the Yisaimim's Kravim, it's like a lot of Jewish geography here. The Yisaimim's Kravim came and they said, Loi Mistayedes of Nisu Lenechzai. It's bad enough that you bought this. You should have known you didn't have a right to buy it. Elamimchanami Machisalu, and now you're beating up these Yisaimim for going ahead and eating Peiros from a field that technically belonged to them. Also, the comment of Rava, the Shaila was brought to Rava. Amalahu, Rava said, yeah, these Kravim are right because the Bukhar had no right to go ahead and sell it. Rapapa and Rapapi were both there when Rava issued this psak, and this is where the ambiguity was. This is where the confusion came. One held, what does Loyasa Klum mean? Rapapi Bepalga. Says the Rashbam, you have to see the Rashbam inside. He didn't have a right to sell the chelik haposhet, the chelik that he was entitled to take based on the fact that he was one of the sons. Hear what the Rashbam is saying? The Rashbam is saying is that Rapapi holds. Rapapi again was the one that said, "Vite b'chol anachasim kulam." Kasava yesh le b'chor koydim chaluka. So the chelik ha-b'chora, which he has koydim chaluka over here, the b'chor had a right to sell. But the chelik ha-poshut, and certainly the chelik ha-poshut of the brothers, he didn't have to sell. I mean, even on the tzad that the b'chor has a schus in the pishnayim before the chaluka, it's only the pishnayim that he has a chelik in. But the ikur din yerusha, the chelik ha-poshut, he doesn't. So the b'chor who went ahead and sold before the chaluka, right? That was the story. The man died. He went ahead and he sold it. There was no chaluka yet. So Rapapi is the man d'amar who holds that yesh le b'chor chelik b'pishnayim. That's the iron. Very good. So must be the way you start analyzing this. But again, let's speak it out first. So what happens is the chelik ha-pashut he couldn't sell because he wasn't entitled even to his own chelik ha-pashut until the yachloiku. The chelik ha-pashut of his brothers, he certainly didn't have a right to sell. You know which chelik he had a right to sell? He had a right to sell his pishnayim. His pishnayim. So even when Rava said, he acknowledged that the chelik pishnayim he had a right. It was just everything else that he didn't have a right. What should be the difference? But someone like you saying, because it's viewed in halacha differently. It's viewed as a matana. So it's probably something to do with that. Umar sava rapapel bikulu. He didn't have a right to sell anything. So that was the shayla. When Rava said, he meant he had zero rights, nothing was sold. Or no, maybe the bechor could sell a chelik of it. Which chelik? The pishnayim. Why? Because the bechor does have a schus. Yesh le bechor koydem lachlo. That's something he does have. So over here at Chapta Nafkamino, whether the mechiru was a mechiru for that chelik, that was in the Maisa Shahaya with Rava. As it relates to the other story, the bechor that was mevater, does he have a right to be mevater on the entire estate before the actual chalukah happened? Over there, it happened after me that if you say that the Bechor has a chelik, then it's not a davar shloi b'loilam. If it's not a davar shloi b'loilam, he would have an ability to be mevater. Says the Gemara. Bechor that sells before the chalukah le'yasa klum doesn't work. Alma, what do you see from this psak halacha? So it's interesting. There were a lot of piskei halachas that we saw in the last few dafin that came from Eretz Yisrael in Hilchas Nachlis. A lot of briefin. That's your fourth word. Alma ein loy lebechor koydim chalukah. So you see from the psak halacha in Marava that the bechor doesn't get his pishnayim before the chalukah. Hilchas, so what's the halacha? Yesh loy lebechor koydim chalukah. So the Gemara does that sometimes, but makes the case why ain't like, but at the end of the day, yeah, like, Mazutra mid the Rishba, Rab Zutra, who came from Rishba, Palag Bitsana de Pilpoli, Bahadi Achin Bishava. See, he was a Bukhar, and he divided together with his brothers equally, meaning he was Mavater and his Pishnayim, a basket of pilpoli, of peppers. By the real estate, he wasn't going to be such a mevater. But the peppers, he was moichel. Also, the kami Rav Ashi, the shailu brought to Rav Ashi, Amalei, so he told him, hoyo vitarta v'miktas, vitarta v'chal anachasim kula. So Mazutra midirishba made a little mistake. But at the end of the day, even though it was nothing, Imam, she said, all right, you can have half the sandwich. That was the whole chaluk over here. But at the end of the day, he lost out on his pishnayim, on the entire Yerusha, and it's based on the hilchasa yesh leil b'char, koydim chal, v'kazok to Mishnah Vayter. Ha'oymer ish ploine b'chit b'ni b'char, lo yitel pishnayim. A man says that he knows that after he dies, so his estate's going to go over b'Yerusha to his children. And he knows it's a parsha in Parshas Pinchas. He knows it's in Parshas Maaseh. He knows that there's a whole Perek Yishnoichlin, right? There's a whole Seder Nachlis of how the Yerusha goes over. But he says that I don't want my estate to operate with the regular Gedorim of Yerusha. So, for example, my son that's a Bechor, lo yitel Pishnaim. I don't want to take Pishnaim. Or Ish Pleini B'ni, that son, lo yirei Shemechav. I want to exclude him from the Yerusha. That loch is lo yomar klum. It doesn't work. Shehis now matcha kaza batayra. What if a person didn't say that I want my estate to go over the Yerusha, but I want it to not work with the regular laws of Yerusha, but rather he says, I don't want the laws of Yerusha to apply to my estate. Writes a will, for example, he starts giving out gifts before he dies. Riba lecha, if he gave more to one brother, umit lecha, he gave less to another brother, or vihishvan as a bechar, or he equated the bechar with the other brothers, dvarav kayyav, that is good, because he can give him matay, he can do whatever he wants. He can be mafkir as nechasim, he can leave his children out of it completely. You could do whatever you want. The point is, if you want it to work with dinei nachlois, that's when you have an issue, because this is halacha masa mashakaz abatayir. But to the extent it's not working with dinei nachlois, knock yourself out. Once you add the word Yerusha, what's the hisaf of that, says the Rashbam? Because the Reisha of the Mishnah was talking about a person who's completely violating the law. It says, this son shouldn't yarsha. The din pishnayim shouldn't apply. I would think that maybe that's a problem. But over here, he's just saying, I want one son to get a little bit more, one son to get a little bit less. He shouldn't get pishnayim. He should only get 1.5 times. Even then, zok the Mishnah yamaklum. What if he drafted a die, but it was sloppy? So it talks a little bit about Yerusha, talks a little bit about Matana, so it's a little bit all over the place. Over there, the halacha is, as long as the word Matana is there somewhere, that's already a kula, dvar of kayam. Zok the Gemara. The first halacha of the Mishnah was that if somebody tries to be masa mashakasa batayra, he tries to distort the laws of Nachlis, what's the rule? This Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda holds that even though Masna Masha Kazabat Torah tonight bottle, but if it's a Dovah Shabbat Mamon, tonight Kayim, Tayim, Limited Bright, Emily Shabbat, Mikadash, Lamanash, Imachalash, if someone's Makadash and Isha and he says, I want the Kedushan to be Chal, but without she'er, without ksus, Rashbam says not oino, because oino is not a davar shabbat moment. But he says she'ein lo chalai she'er ksus va'oino. So the halacha is I raise him mikudashes v'tanai bottle. Divi Rameir. Rameir says the kedushin schal that tanai is nishkain tanai. Why? Because it's a masna mashkas about tayr. Rabbi Yehuda says v'davar shabbat moment tanai kain she'er v'ksus, says Rashbam, which is a davar shabbat moment. There it's going to be kain. So what do you see? Rabbi Yehuda holds masna mashkas about tayr v'davar shabbat moment tanai kain. By the way, if you remember, once upon a time when we're learning Seder Noshim, we spoke out super lumdis Torah from the Shiva Rabbanon Zatzal, lot in the Oist of Chidus. We spoke out lumdis that when is a husband obligated to pay Sherek Sos V'yoyna? Not Peshas Kedushin. It's not Peshas Eirisin, it's Peshas Mesuin. So, Imeli Isha Re'at Mekudesh Asli Avanasha Im Lachalai Sherek Sos V'yoyna. L'churu, the Chiyuv Sherek Sos V'yoyna is Ishkan Eirisin the Gechiyuv. It's an Asuin the Gechiyuv. So that's where there's lumdis, that vice says that even though Bepoyo, the husband doesn't have to provide Sherek Sos V'yoyna until after Nesuin, but you see that the Chiyuv Nemtzach Nishvin the Nesuin. It's an Nemtzach from the Eirisin. This is some heavy lumdis. But either way, Rabbi Yehuda said, B'davashal Mamayin, Tanai Kayim. So what's the Kasha? What's the difference between someone who's Makadash and Isha? Where Rabbi Yehuda says that even though you're a masna mashakas about Torah, because according to the Torah, if you get married, you have to provide shereksus v'yoyna. The halach is, being that it's a davar shabbat mamon, tanai kayin, and if someone who says that ish pleini b'ni b'chor lo yitel pishnayim, or ish pleini b'ni lo yirish anachav, lo yomar klum. Why not? Because you're masna mashakas about Torah, it's a davar shabbat mamon. What are you giving over by Yerusha? Cash. You're giving over money. So if you're giving over money, what should be the difference? Dr. Gemara, I'll tell you what. Because what's the yisoid of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds, oh, davar shabbat mamon, it's a hefkevel. Then you can be masa mashkas. No, it's not the pshat. I feel the tamer Rabbi Yehuda. Hasam, you ought to become machl. The whole yisoid of why Rabbi Yehuda holds, ha'im li'isha re'em ha'kadash asli ha'manasha im l'chalai shayit. It's not because he holds the law of masa mashkas doesn't apply to money. Why shouldn't it apply to money? It's because by money, you can always be meichel. And being that you can be meichel, we say that this woman technically got her sherek sos v'yoyna. But Ayidei Mechila, the Chiyuv is not going to be here b'poil. But it's not the Taich that there's a Kedushin on Asher Ksus V'yoyna. I've added there's Asher Ksus V'yoyna. You can't make such a Tanai because you're a Masa Mashkos Batayra. And even though it's Tosh in a moment, it's still a Masa Mashkos Batayra. No, there's a Mahalach. Again, this is the next one that's in today's daf. But there's a Mahalach Mechila. And being that there's a Mahalach Mechila, you could say that she was Meichel. But over here, Hachal Eka Machal. Here, the boy is standing there being Meichel. And being that there's no Mechila over here, for that reason, it doesn't work. Amrav Yosef, Rav Yosef says, if a man walks into Bez and he says, Ish ployni b'chim b'chayri, this person, he's my son, and he's a b'char, the halach is, he gets pishnai. Meaning, if later there was a shayla, who's the b'char? You can rely on the testimony of the father, the father's belief to say that this is my son. Now, the Rashbam sends us to a sugya later in the parak, one of the more important sugyas in parak Yesh Noichel. It's learned from Yakir, right? It's a whole limud, one of the special, like in halach, you have like certain areas where there's like a special nemanis. One of them is a father's belief to say that this is my son. Father's belief to say that this is my b'char, and it can impact even Davar Sheva Mamon. Usually Davar Sheva Mamon, you need to aid him, and again, B'davar is possible aid us. But it's a special nemanis that the father has to say this is my son. But the Rashbam says right away, this has nothing to do with that sugya. That sugya is talking about where the father was going to be mafkia, an existing chazaka. So there was a status quo. As far as we knew, Reuven was the Bechar. And now the father walks into Bez and he says, Shimon is really the Bechar. So that's already a machlokes in the Gemara. It's learned out from Sukkim. That's a little bit more complicated. Over here, the Rashbam says everyone agrees that Allah is the father's belief. Because we're talking about when no one had a clue who the Bechar was. So there's no reason the father shouldn't be believed to say that this is my Bechar. Stating that, Rabbi Yosef said it's only true if the father said, Ish ployni bini Bechairihu. But what if he says, Ish ployni Bechairu, he didn't say the word bini, and then the father wasn't heard from again, and now there's a shayla, who's the Bechar? This child doesn't get pishnai. I, the father, said he's my Bechar. He didn't say bini Bechar, he said Bechar. So it's his son, true. He also said he's a Bechar, but maybe he's his mother's Bechar, not his father's Bechar. And Hilchas Nachlis, Mishpachas Av Kruy, Mishpachas, Mishpachas, Emeinu Kruy, Mishpachas. So being the mother's Bechar can happen Av Kamina in the laws of Pidyon HaBen, for example, not in terms of the laws of Nachlis, we have to be the father's Bechar. We don't know for sure that he's the father's Bechar. Who does? Come to Rabbi Bar Chanan. This person came to Rabbi Bar Chanan. Amalei told him, Mukhsakani Bezeshu Bechar. This guy, Yankel, I know he's the Bechar. Amalei, me know Yodas. And how do you know? He says, because I remember his father used to call him, you stupid, you foolish Bechar. That's literally what it means. So he said, meaning, I know his father used to call him Bechar. And not finest way, but that's what he used to call him. But the Gemara says, "Doma buchri di imo." Maybe really he's a Bukhar, but he was a Bukhar from his mother. He wasn't his first son, he was his wife's first. And the truth is, you find that the Bukhar di imo sometimes would be called buchri di sikhla. Says Rashbam, why? It's not because every Bukhar di imo is somehow a shaita. Ela lafisha ene Bukhar gomor, kamay hadas shaita. But either way, somebody came to Rav Chanina and he wanted to say Yedus about somebody that he's a Bechar. How do you know he's a Bechar? When he used to go to his father, when I would go to his father, he said, so apparently people used to go to Rav Chanina sometimes, they had issues. So if somebody would have a health issue, particularly with his eye, Rav Chanina used to send him to his son, whose name was Shikhas. Rashbam says that was his name. His son Shikhas, because Shikhas had a healing power. He would take saliva, he would put it on the person's eye, and somehow he would get a refuah. And what Rav Chanina would say was, or what, I'm sorry, not Rav Chanina. What this person would say was, Zilu legabe Shikhas Bari, go to my son Shikhas, the Bukhrahu, he's a Bukhar, umasi ruke, and his roik, his saliva is masi, has an ability for refuah. But bottom line is, the father, Masich Levituma, used to refer to the son as a Bechar. So the guy came to Rav Chanina and he said, Eidos. He said, you know, we have a Shaila now. Who's the Bechar? Who gets Pishnaim? I know that Shikhas is the Bechar. Because the father used to always send people for healing to this son, Shikhas. But the worst is, Rav Chanina told, maybe he was a Bechar of his mother, just because he said Bechairi doesn't mean anything. But the Gemara says, no, Gemiri. We have a Mesoira Bukhra da Abba Masi Ruke. If someone is a Bechar to his father, his saliva has a special kayach to heal eyes. Bukhra de ima, but a Bechar de ima, loy Masi Ruke. Amar Avami. Tumtum Shenikra, a Tumtum. So a Tumtum and an Adroganus are both people that are not treated in halacha as a Zachar. They're not treated in halacha as a Nekeva. But Lamitamayu, not for the same reason. A tumtim is somebody that we don't know whether this person is a zachar and a keva. So oisei makim is covered in a way where it's impossible for us right now to know, is this person a zachar? Is this person in the keva? Now it could be at some future date, something will happen and then we will know. But right now we don't know if this person is a zachar or in a keva. And adraganus is someone that has simon in both of a zachar and of an akeva. So an adraganus will never know. He's Bechefza, Safik Zachar, Safik Nekeva. Because it's not the pshat, we don't know what his simonim are, what his evarim are. We know exactly what his evarim are. And he has the evar of a Zachar, he has the evar of a Nekeva. So somebody like that is, by definition, going to be a Safik Zachar, Safik Nekeva. There's no way to ever resolve that. A Tumtum, we don't see Zachar, we don't see Nekeva, because there's a flap of basar or something covering it. But at some point we may know. If at some point we do know, that's interesting, maybe we'll speak about this tomorrow. Adraganus, there's a few places in Halacha where you have to be chayish for an adraganus as being a Zachar. It's brought down in 6 or 7 places in Shulchan Aruch. Where even though an adraganus is always viewed as a Safik Zachar, Safik Nekeva, but L'chumra we view the adraganus as a Vadai Zachar. A Vadai Zachar. That's the Chiddush. That we view him sometimes in Halacha as a Vadai Zachar. For example, a Zachar that's Mekadish and a Keva, you have to be chayish for the kedushin. I'm sorry, obviously. An adraganus that's mekadosh in a keva, you have to be chayish for the kedushin. An adraganus that's mekadosh a zocher, or a zocher that's mekadosh an adraganus, you don't have to be chayish for the kedushin because you view the adraganus more as a zocher than as in the keva. But either here we're talking about a tumtum, we're not talking about an adraganus. So what happened? Tumtum shenikra of an inter zocher. This tumtum later was found to be a zocher. Einoi noitel pishnayim. The loch is he doesn't get pishnayim. The amakro because the pasuk says v'hoyu habena b'chor l'sniya. Gets pishnayim. Achi hey ben mishas havaya. Bahoya, he always had to be a bechor. And it's being that this person at that time that the father died was a tumtum. We didn't know if he was a bechor because maybe he was a girl. So for that reason, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Af Einoi Nidin Ben Tzayir Umayir. He also can't be a Ben Tzayir Umayir. On my crop, because the pasuk says Ki El Ish Ben Tzayir Umayir. Achi hey ben mishas havaya. To be a Ben Tzayir Umayir, you also have to be mishas havaya. The Gemara continues, but it's not often we get to end on the last word of the Yomish. So we will stop here.